Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be introducing our in-studio guest in just a few moments, but we invite you to look with us in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Again, Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 1. It tells us these words. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Verses 1 through 21, all of Romans chapter 12. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the guidance, the counsel, the wisdom, the grace that's poured into our minds, our hearts, our lives, as we read and meditate on your word each and every day. Lord, help us with every passing day to grow more and more for our love for your word. And help us to be a people that are always listening for the voice of your Holy Spirit, for guidance, for direction, for insight, for understanding, to know your will and to walk in it. And empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We love you. We bless you, we praise you, we thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're grateful to have with us in studio today, Les Riley. He's the director of the Morning Center in Memphis, Tennessee. Les, how are you today?
I'm well, Joseph. Thank you for having me.
Good to have you with us today. And some of our listeners may recall, Les, you were with us several weeks back, but right. We're great to have you back. And as we start off, I'm going to ask, would you share with our listeners, there may be some that missed that broadcast, but tell them what the work and the ministry and the mission of the Morning in Memphis, Tennessee is.
Yeah, sure. Our our mission statement is actually a very simple one. It's the Morning Center exists to provide comprehensive, high-quality maternity care, including delivery, absolutely free in the name of Christ to women in underserved areas. And while that sounds, you know, pretty simple, and it may sound like something that you've heard before or something like it before, what we do is very different. I had a meeting last week with the director of Christ Community Health Fellowship, and it's a network of 360 Christian medical ministries from very large to very small all over North America. And he said he didn't know of any that were doing what we're doing. And so when you first hear it, it sounds a lot like a crisis pregnancy center. But I kind of liken it to where a crisis pregnancy center would be like somebody that gets somebody on drugs off the streets and gives them a place to stay over the weekend while they get cleaned out. We're more like a halfway house. So what we do is if a pregnancy center or another mercy ministry, a church, has somebody that's pregnant and can't afford care, they pass them on to us, they refer them to us, and we have doctors, we have nurses, we have nurse practitioners, all paid support staff, and we've got four OB clinics set up in inner city neighborhoods around Memphis, and we provide all their care completely free in our clinics, just like you would get in an OB clinic in the, you know, in any town in America, and then we deliver their babies at one of the Memphis hospitals, and it's all completely free to the patients. And at no cost to the taxpayer, it's all funded by private charity. And we wrap the care in the gospel. And we delivered our first baby in January of 2014. And we're going to be right at 300 delivered now. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Lord has really blessed us. And, you know, in doing that, we try to share the gospel with the women and get to know them, see what their social and spiritual needs are, and try to minister to the whole person in partnership with local churches.
Okay. Would it be accurate to say, so basically it's a medical clinic.
Right, exactly.
That really picks up where the pregnancy clinic sort of leaves off, sort of?
Yeah, and I don't even like to use the term leaves off as much as more like in Nehemiah, you know, everybody had their spot on the wall.
Right.
Well, you know, the pregnancy center and the sidewalk counselor's spot on the wall is meeting the abortion at risk mom where she is. Mm-hmm. You know, a homeless shelter might be helping somebody get off the street. And our niche is that we provide high-quality maternity care. Mm-hmm. And so we've got so one of our patients, however they come to us, we've even had a St. Jude Hospital refer patients to us that, you know, had a child in St. Jude, didn't have a doctor locally. And so when they come to us, their experience from the time they call us until we send them to the hospital will be just like you going to your doctor OB. They call, they make appointments, but then we also try to provide spiritual and social counseling as well.
Okay then. Well, if someone listening, like if their church wanted to maybe somehow or another get involved with the Morning Center, or if they just want to learn more about it, if they'd like to give financially or become an intercessor or a prayer warrior, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, sadly, our website has just recently been hacked.
Okay.
And so we're trying to get our website back up. But you can go on Facebook and go to the Morning Center Memphis or the Memphis Morning Center, either one. You search that. It'll take you straight to our page, and that'll tell you how to get involved. It'll tell you tell you more about our ministry, what we do. You can contact us through it, find out how your church can volunteer or, you know, things like that. But we also, a recent post, we've got a baby store called Hannah's Closet in which, you know, churches can contribute to the needs of our patients, you know, and the moms get to go shopping right before the baby's born and get them clothes and things they need. So that's an easy way to get involved. But if you'll go to Facebook and look up the Morning Center Memphis or the Memphis Morning Center, either one, it'll take you to our page.
Okay. Would there be a number that they could call possibly?
Yeah, if they'll call 901-209-0195.
Yes.
And if they'll push extension 4, that's our general number. Most of the others are for patients.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if they are a patient, just press 1. 901-209-0195, extension 4.
Okay then. Well, less recently I was with a group of pastors in another large city, and they're talking about outreach, and, you know, one of the things that came to my mind and comes to my mind now is that, you know, most churches do not have medical clinics out directly connected to it, but, you know, one of the things that is one reality that every church can do is find ministry that's meeting the needs of people in the community and get involved, as in putting them, either giving them a mission offering, supporting them consistently, praying for them, sending volunteers. What would you say to churches that say, well, I like what you're doing, but we can't duplicate what you're doing? What would you say to
them? And you know, that's actually the role of a true parachurch ministry, and that is it's a conduit for the church. It's an aid to the church. It's, you know, there's a lot of things. The church is Christ's institution on earth. Mm-hmm. And we would never try to usurp or take the place of the church. But there are things that individual churches, you know, can't do. A small church can't hire a doctor, mm-hmm. for instance. Okay. But they can work together and support ministries like ours. Now, if you're in the Memphis area or if you're in an area that a morning center is coming to, we try to partner with churches in different zip codes so that if a mom comes to us from, say, the Whitehaven area, you know, we're going to provide her medical care, but we want to plug her in to churches and ministries in the community where she lives to be able to carry her on from there. Mm-hmm. We have churches all over the country that come for mission trips. We have volunteers that, you know, it's really funny. People say, well, I'm not good at talking to people. I'm not a gifted counselor. I say, you like playing with babies? Because, mm-hmm. you know, we've got moms that bring their kids. You know, abortion clinics have signs up, no children allowed.
Mm-hmm.
But most of our moms bring their kids with them, and so people can sit in the nursery and read a book to the kids. And one thing a church can do, and I mentioned our Hannah's Closet Baby Store, is if you'll contact us on Facebook, your church can actually sponsor a particular mom, and we'll pair you with a mom and, you know, let you know what she's doing. You can do a baby shower for her. So, you know, Edmund Burke, who's famous for saying, all that's necessary for good to triumph is for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing, mm-hmm. also said, no man makes a greater mistake than he who does nothing because he couldn't do everything.
Mm.
And, you know, I think we're going to talk more about kingdom living. And, you know, there's one king, and he's doing his work, and he's doing it through his body, and none of us can do everything.
Right.
You know, if you're a 20,000-member church, you can't meet all the needs of your city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but Christ, through his church and through people doing the little thing that's right in front of him, mm-hmm. you know, if you say, well, I only have 1 hour a month I could volunteer. There's probably a pregnancy center in your town. You could volunteer that 1 hour be a big help. So yeah, I think seeking ways to get involved, you know, I try not to limit what I tell people they can do,
mm-hmm.
because every time I do, somebody say, hey, I'd like to do this, and it's something we hadn't even thought of
right. That
is actually very helpful.
Okay. We know in just a few moments we'll be coming up on a break, but on the other side, what I want to do is ask if you'll pray for the church to grow, to grow to the place where we recognize that this is something not only that we should do, but we should do passionately, getting significantly involved in ministry that's really reaching people where they're hurting, where they're struggling the most, where they have the most pain and difficulty. And,
yeah.
you know, one thing that's always been true in the Word of God always causes people to reach out to the poor, the disenfranchised,
right.
the weak. Old and New Testament, that's a major theme in the Word of God.
Right, mm-hmm. right, amen.
And I tell you, too, that's something that it's important to know, too, that, like, whether it's inner city or rural, there's poverty in so many different pockets in our culture. And we need to understand, without question, every church is called to be involved in reaching out to the poor in
right.
some capacity.
Right.
And for a person to say, well, that's not really my calling, well, no, there's something we can do to reach out to those that would be considered poor or kind of the left outs.
Right.
And it's important to know, too, that every believer is supposed to be involved in ministry.
Yep.
There's nobody that says, well, I just leave that to, should say, I just leave that to my pastor or the missionaries of my church. Every believer is called to be involved in the work of the spread of the gospel.
Right.
Every believer is called to be involved in the work of making disciples, helping people grow up. Every believer is supposed to be involved in somehow or another loving people and helping people in need.
Amen.
So those are important truths for us to remember. And I want to encourage every single believer to remember this. In the truest sense of the word, every believer is called to full-time ministry. Well, what do I mean by that? We're all called to listen to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit full-time and to be a vessel of love and grace God can use. Lord, thank you for the opportunity you give to each of us to be vessels of your grace, your mercy, and compassion. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of compassion that every day we'd be a vessel through which you can reach and love the world and show them your truth. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Our in-studio guest is Les Riley. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening, shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day. Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Every day should be a time of preparation for us. Every day, there should be a dimension of spiritual hunger and thirst in our lives. There should be a true seeking of God. Our prayer should always be, God, what do you want to say to me during this season? How can I prepare even the more for your coming? We should want our minds and hearts to be open to His Spirit. And there's no doubt in my mind that in these last and evil days, the primary thing in our lives should be our relationship with Emmanuel, the one who came to dwell with us. Prepare your hearts and your minds and be still before the Lord. Make sure that you hear what He wants you to do and be obedient during this season of preparation in your life. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Here's what you missed on Airing the Addisons.
Y'all used to smash out.
Oh, man.
Anywhere
they had buffets.
So how many slices could you have?
Oh, man.
No, ask him how many pizzas for them. You're starting too small.
Man, yeah, we used to eat pizzas.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's crazy.
That's what I do.
Can't do that no more, though.
No, my goodness.
Why not,
my
man?
Goodness. Stomach ain't built the same?
No. I just can't. I'll be full, like, back
even
then.
Even now.
I want my stomach to enlarge when I get older. I want to be
like,
able to eat more food.
Praying the prayer of Fat Bez. I'm praying the prayer of Fat Bez. Lord, right. Enlarge Fat my Bez. Territory.
Fat Bez.
That's funny, right?
Yes,
there.
That's a new
you
character.
You Lord, stretch forth my stomach that it might receive all
man.
That I intend
Lord,
to
let
bless
me eat a lot. That may not cause pain.
I think that's called sin. Gluttony.
It is.
Airing the Addisons, 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Music of Fred Hammond, the song Here in Our Praise. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Let me remind you, want to encourage you to take time to go to our website, urbanfamilytalk.com. Again, that's urbanfamilytalk.com. Please go there and subscribe. Also, you'll find a number of spiritually encouraging blogs and articles there. Hope you'll take time to read those as well. Also, we want to encourage you to get our free mobile apps you can obtain for your iPhone and Android devices. Simply go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk, and you can get those. And that way, you can take Urban anywhere in the whole wide world that you might go. You can take Urban Family with you. Also, we encourage you to go on Facebook and like our Facebook pages. Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live. Hope you'll take the time to do that. We're grateful to have in studio with us Les Riley, the director of the Morning Center in Memphis, Tennessee.
Thank you.
And Les, as we start off for this segment, I'm going to ask if you'll take time to pray for the church to really see the need to become vibrant, just passionately involved in outreach ministry to the culture as a whole and to the poor community in particular.
Yeah, sure. Father, Lord, we do thank you for the opportunity that you give us to even know that you exist, Lord. It is a mercy that we know that there is a God, that we have the witness of creation, the witness of history, the witness of your word, and the clear witness of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you have privileged us to know you and to know how we might have access to the Father. And Lord, those of us who have been shown mercy, those of us who have cast ourselves wholly on Christ, not holding on to our sin or trusting in our own self-made righteousness, but who have received the grace of Christ, Lord, we pray that you would make that grace manifest in us, and that we would, Father, that we would be granted a burden to see your gospel go forth, granted a burden to see your kingdom advance in our time.
Yes,
and Lord, not only in word, but in deed, not only in ideas in our mind and high-minded things, but in very practical ways. Lord, you came and you didn't just teach, but you healed, you served, and ultimately you laid down your life for your people. And Lord, we pray that you would cause that same spirit to be in us, that we not think of ourselves more highly than we ought, but that we would be burdened, Lord, and that you would provide opportunities for your church to reach the lost, to speak for the voiceless, the unborn, to serve widows and orphans and strangers among us, Lord, and that you would cause your gospel to be made manifest through our good deeds, that you would cause us to demonstrate our love for you by loving our neighbors, and Lord, that you would reap a great harvest. Lord, we pray that you would send a revival and a reformation to our land. We pray, Lord, that you would stir the church to speak for the unborn, to serve the helpless, to serve the needy, and that by this you would show that your kingdom is greater than the kingdom of men, and that our king is superior to the kings and rulers of this world.
Thank you.
In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Les. You know, Les, one of the things that is a very important truth for us as believers to remember is that, you know, the Word of God says to every believer, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All of us are called to know Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives, and also to seek an intimate relationship with Christ. A big mistake lots of believers make is they sometimes think, well, especially if they're not in clergy or in what we call quote-unquote full-time ministry, often they may say, well, you know, I don't really need to be that close to the Lord. And and sometimes they may not say it with their mouth, but their actions say it.
Right.
It's not that big. They may say it's not that big a deal for them to really be a student of Scripture if they just read from time to time. They pray enough. You know, they pray when they can't pay their light bill or when they're going through a struggle. And many people live in survival mode, just, Lord, get me through this day. From your perspective, why is it so important for us to really get far beyond that point to see and mature to get involved in ministry?
Well, I think, I think the starting place about what you said about not feeling the need to get really close to God, I think, you know, if you don't feel that need, if you don't want to know who God is, don't want to know Christ better, don't want to serve him better, then you have a very legitimate reason to question whether or not you know him at all.
That's right.
You know, A.W. Tozer said, the most important thing about a man is what he thinks of when he hears the word God. Mm-hmm. The most important thing about us is who do we think God is? Because ultimately that is eternal. And I think, you know, we need to fear at that thought, because Jesus said, many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, and I'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. So if you say you have a relationship with the living Lord of the universe, and that you know that you are a filthy sinner and you've rebelled against him and you're desperately needy, and he lays down his life for you and gives you a new life, to then say that you would be indifferent to him it doesn't make any sense, you know.
Right.
And so, you know, that's almost like saying, you know, I love my wife, but I don't care if she lives in another state, and I don't want to spend any time with her. And I don't care if she's sick. I don't care if she's well. I don't care, you know, if she's seeing other men. You don't love your wife.
It's a total contradiction,
right. And so,
in terms, really.
If we don't want to love and serve and obey and get to know Christ better, if we don't want to find out where he's working and join in that work, then it's, you know, we have very good reason to wonder if we know him at all.
That's right. That's right. I think tragically you have many believers who feel like, well, I've made that step. I prayed the prayer. I went through the motions of what they told me I needed to do. I have fire insurance now, and so now I can live my life, and I'll just ask God to bless me from time to time, and when I die, I'll go to heaven. Well, again, it's important for a person in that position to question their salvation.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's, you know, it's a tragic thing to think that there are many people who are listening to this program who think they've got that fire insurance and they really don't know Christ at all.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, rather than hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant, they're going to hear, depart from me, I never knew you.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
And that's a frightful thing.
It's a sobering thought. Yet, you know, sadly, we live in a world where it's easy for people to live what I'd call a drunk life, where they're just caught up in living life, you know, making money, paying their bills, doing what people do. And we're called to live just like Romans 12 that we read at the beginning of the broadcast, we're called to live our lives as a sacrificial life, live for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We're to be involved passionately with ministry, doing what the Word of God calls the church to do.
Right.
Every day is a day to be involved in the work of sharing the gospel. Every day is a day to be involved in the work of discipleship. Every day is a day of ministry.
Right.
We listen to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, and we're a vessel through which the hand of God can reach to touch the world with his love.
Yeah, you know, Jesus obviously commanded us to go out and preach the gospel, to make disciples of nations, and to teach them everything, to obey everything that he taught us. Everything in the Word, we're to teach we're to teach the nations to obey.
Right.
But we're also to obey that ourselves and to take it in internally. You know, James, the Apostle James, asked the question, in his letter, he said, "How can you say you have faith and not have works to demonstrate it? Show me your faith." And he told us that true religion is not just what we profess. It's not just, you know, going to religious services once a week, but it's visiting widows and orphans, taming our tongue, and keeping ourselves unspotted before the world. All of which are very practical things. And the Apostle John, who's known as the Apostle of Love, he said in 1 John, "How can you say you love God whom you've not seen when you don't love your neighbor who you have?" So,
that's,
you know,
right.
Old and New Testament, the pattern we see is that if we truly love Christ, that love is going to be made manifest. You know, we don't believe in a works-based salvation. We don't believe the Bible teaches that by loving our neighbors, that makes us right with God. You know, but if we truly love God, it is going to translate into a seeking justice, into, again, wanting to know him better, but then seeking justice to know what he has to say about justice and mercy, and then carrying that out.
We're to be following him one day at a time, one step at a time, too.
Right, right.
A very important reminder for us as believers to be reminded there are certain things that I would call building blocks of the life of discipleship. Every believer is called first, of course, every person is called first, needs to receive the call to accept Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. And if someone listening has never made that step, today is a good day to get saved. Today is a good day to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. But once you've made that step, three very important building blocks in the life of a disciple are, number one, and the word pro reminds us of what they are, P-R-O, P, our prayer life, R, the habit of reading the Word of God daily. O, obedience, live what you learn. And so every believer is called to have a vibrant prayer life. Every believer should have the habit of reading and meditating on God's Word every day. Every believer is called to a life of obedience as well. I want to invite our listeners, if you would pray this prayer with me. If you're not sure about your salvation, or you're just wondering, or you recognize that you feel like you've made a decision to receive Christ, but you're not following after him passionately, I want to invite you to pray this as a salvation prayer or a rededication prayer, because Many people recognize they know they're not walking closely with the Lord like they should be, or they're not running after God in service to Him and love for Him. If you would, we want to invite every listener, if you would pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways. Lord, forgive me for all the wrong I've done. I repent of all that wrong. I'm trusting you to forgive me. And Lord, right now, in a brand new way, I open my heart and my whole life to you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Today, I commit or fully recommit my heart to you. Help me to love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. Lord, you said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to follow you. And help me, Lord, to get vibrantly and faithfully and passionately involved in ministry where you want me to be plugged in. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. And thank you, Father, for making me one of your children. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Let me remind you, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. If you made the step of asking Christ to come into your heart or just made the step of recommitting your heart to the Lord, made a new commitment, I want to invite you to email us at that email address, jparker@afa.net. We'd really like to hear from you. Also, we'd like to send you some discipleship material. But remember this, if you're a disciple of Christ, all of us are to be involved in the work of the building of God's kingdom. We're to be involved of doing the work God has called us to do, the work of sharing the gospel, being a disciple, making disciples, as well as getting involved in ministry. And on the other side of the break, Les is going to share a little bit more with us about the work of the Morning Center and some stories of just adventures he's had with that. But I want to remind you that, again, all of us are called to full-time ministry. What does that mean? That means we're to walk with God, but also as God guides us by His Word and by His Spirit, we're supposed to be involved in reaching out to a hurting world, reaching out to a world where people have all kinds of needs, spiritual needs, sometimes physical needs, emotional needs, and getting involved in ministries, whether it be a ministry like the Morning Center or a pregnancy clinic or being involved in the work of a college outreach or evangelism, child evangelism, discipleship. There's so many ministries we can get involved in, but remember, God has work for us to do every single day. The world is full of hurting people. Sometimes they live in the house with us. Sometimes they live next door. Sometimes they live down the street. But again, it's important for us to know every believer is called to full-time ministry. And the most exciting life you can live is where you're listening to God and just doing what He says. Just listen to God and doing what He says. Let's share one more time. If someone wants to get in touch with the Morning Center, how could they do that?
Yeah, they can go to Facebook and search the Morning Center Memphis or the Memphis Morning Center, either one. It'll find it. Our website was hacked, so Facebook is the easiest place to find us. They could call the Memphis Center at 901-209-0195, extension 4. If they want to email me directly, my email is les.riley@morningcenter.org. And that's morning with a O and no U, morningcenter.org.
All righty. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back after this break.
Church has to take the lead in ensuring that men are properly trained for fatherhood. We have an epidemic in which boys are not growing up with their fathers. So as Christian men, we have to stand in the gap and make up the hedge so that our communities are not destroyed. When we see fatherhood as a blessing and not an inconvenience, we will see children as spiritual weapons in our arsenal. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Join us in the battle to strengthen fatherhood. UrbanFamilyTalk.com. I'm Will Addison, director of Urban Family Talk. We desire to be a movement of time tellers. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it says, the sons of Issachar were men who had understanding of the time to know what Israel ought to do. In these perilous times, God is raising up a people of discernment who will see, pray, and act. We sound the alarm as watchmen. We cry aloud that God's people may be activated for his service. Join the movement at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
Receiving forgiveness is great. Giving it is usually a lot harder. Still, Dr. Tony Evans says that it's vital, not so much because of what it does for the people we forgive, but for us. He'll explain today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Many of us are being hindered from our destiny because we're being held hostage by a leash around our souls called unforgiveness. And that leash keeps jerking us back. Maybe it was something that happened in your childhood. Maybe it was an abusive mate. Maybe you were forsaken, neglected, abused, wrongly fired. It could be a multitude of things. Whatever it is, though, it's holding you hostage. Today, we want to see you set free. First of all, let's define forgiveness, because part of the problem is many people don't know what it is, or they don't know if they've really done it. Forgiveness in the Bible means a decision to no longer credit an offense against an offender. Forgiveness is a math term. That's why when you hear the Lord's Prayer, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It's mathematics. It has to do with an error on a calculator where two numbers have been added together wrong and you push a delete button in order to begin again. Forgiveness is not how you're feeling in any given moment. It has to do with whether you have made the choice to delete the offense.
Learn more about how God can clear out the obstacles between you and the life you were meant to live. Check out Dr. Evans' teaching series, Joseph, Detours to Destiny, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Marvin Sapp, the song Teach My Hands to War. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest is Les Riley, the director of the Morning Center in Memphis, Tennessee. And Les, as we start off this last segment, I want to give you the opportunity to share just some about the mission that you're carrying out. And again, once again, if you'll summarize for our listeners the mission of the Morning Center and share some of the adventures you've had as the director.
Yeah, well, our mission statement, as I said in the first segment, for those who are just now joining, is actually very simple. The Morning Center exists to provide comprehensive, high-quality maternity care, including delivery, to women in underserved areas, absolutely free in the name of Christ. So we've got four maternity clinics in churches or missions at apartment complexes in Memphis neighborhoods, and then we deliver at a local hospital. We've got a medical staff, paid full-time doctors, nurses, support staff, and we minister to the physical, spiritual, and social needs of our patients. We've been in Memphis for about 4 years. We've delivered our first baby in January of 2014, and we're closing in on our 300th delivery. And they've been every shape and size. It's funny when you do something like this, you think, well, you know, here's our typical mom we're looking at, high abortion risk, high infant mortality risk, but they've really been, you know, just all across the spectrum. We've had moms who maybe had a child in St. Jude and they were in Memphis from out of town. They were pregnant, didn't have care. We would provide their care. St. Jude would refer them. Mm-hmm. We had a mom in a housing complex where we were working. And when we came into Memphis, Memphis was named the most dangerous city in America in 2010. Really? 2010, this apartment complex had the highest violent crime rate in Memphis. And there's a ministry working there called the Red Door that's out of Faith Baptist Church, and they do a women's Bible study and lots of other things in one of these apartments right in the middle of the apartment complex. So we started going there and setting up a medical clinic and providing care to the people in the community.
Like a satellite clinic
right,
from the morning center.
And the church went out and evangelized, tried to help the people. We went out and evangelized with them, and then also the day that they held their women's Bible study, we had a clinic. So it was mm-hmm. kind of a symbiotic relationship where, mm-hmm. you know, they had women come into Bible study, we'd provide their care, mm-hmm. and we would draw women to the Bible study. And there was one mom, the mother was a believer, and she actually participated in the Bible study, but she'd grown up poor. She'd been in Section 8 housing her whole life. Her daughter grew up in Section 8 housing. And by the time we met her, she had multiple children by a couple different fathers, had never been married, was living a pretty tough lifestyle. And we ended up delivering two of her babies. You know, she went through the process twice with us. Mm-hmm. But as she started coming, she got plugged into the Wimbledon Bible study, you know, and we provided her care. About 6 or 8 months ago, we get a call, and they wanted to invite us that Friday night. She was marrying the baby's father. That Sunday, they were both being baptized together.
Praise God.
You know, that's really what we want is, you know, we know that we can give free care, and mm-hmm. we think we can do it superior to government programs and things like that. We think that private charity is better. Mm-hmm. But if it's not coupled with the gospel, it's not integrated with the church and the work of other ministries in the city, then it's insufficient. So,
that's right.
You know, that's like what we'd love to see is our moms go from dependent and, you know, living in a lifestyle that's not healthy, that may be sinful, to getting free care from us, but then moving on to meeting Christ, being redeemed, mm-hmm. getting married, starting a family.
Just discipling them.
Yeah.
Helping them to grow up in their faith.
Getting plugged into a local church. So, you know, that's kind of the ideal. One thing that's difficult about telling stories is, you know, we don't want to demean our patients. You know,
right.
their stories. We've got 300 patients, 300 deliveries. Mm-hmm. Every one of them is unique.
Right.
And they all have their unique needs, their unique problems, their unique blessings. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want to diminish their stories or use them, mm-hmm. you know, to advance our cause or to. But I think it's really good to know that there's so many different angles, you know. And also the other thing is, you know, the reality is when you're dealing with a culture that loves death, that aborts their own children, that's stricken with racism and crime and poverty and government dependence and all these other things, mm-hmm. There's a lot of heartbreak too.
That's right.
So, you know, for every great story I can tell you, you know, there's a lot of heartbreak. But you know, it's a real picture of the incarnation because, mm-hmm. You know, Jesus, when he got us, he didn't get people that were all together and that were perfect. And, you know, we meet Christ and all of a sudden our life's perfect like you see in the movies. Mm-hmm. You know, we falter, we let him down. And so, you know, walking alongside our patients and, you know, you were talking earlier about the church getting plugged in. And I think one of the reasons people are afraid of that mm-hmm. is that, you know, they want to help, but you realize that the cost is there. Right. You know, if you're going to get plugged in, you're going to get plugged in. It's going to cost you something. Mm-hmm. If you get plugged in fighting against an evil like abortion, mm-hmm. there's going to be spiritual attacks on you and your family. But then also these people that you love and you care for, you know, their situations are heartbreaking.
That's right.
And so there's a real cost. But Jesus said, if any man come after me, what is it? Let him take up his cross and follow me.
Deny himself, yeah. take up his cross and follow
so,
him.
So, you know, we don't measure our success in numbers, and we don't, you know, balance. We've had this many good outcomes and that many bad outcomes, because we never know that when we plant a seed with somebody, mm-hmm. that years later that gospel seed is going to take fruit. Mm-hmm. But one of the good things about our ministry is, like we talked about this young lady, is that, you know, in a lot of mercy ministries, you see them once, you feed them once. In a pregnancy center situation or sidewalk counseling, you may get to share the gospel with them a couple of times. But because we're providing maternity care for them over a season, mm-hmm. We're able to
kind of walk with them.
Yeah, to build a relationship and you know, serve them. You know, Joseph Stalin said, one death is a tragedy. A million deaths is a statistic. And too often the pro-life community, the church, when they're looking at poverty ministry or, you know, programs that are working or not working, we look at people as numbers. But we're not numbers. Mm-hmm. Each and every person has their own unique situation. And so mm-hmm. by coming alongside them, and particularly by partnering with other ministries, we partner with a ministry called One by One. Mm-hmm. And it's out of local churches. They pair one older Christian woman or one mature Christian woman up with one mom mm-hmm. through the length of her pregnancy and then for the first year after the baby's born. So, mm-hmm. you know, we come alongside the morning, you know, One by One plugs in, and we're able to disciple that particular mom.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. And I think the real beauty of it, and I told a story to somebody earlier today about a mom that came to us, and She was in one part of town when she came to us, had been dropped off, lost her ride. We had to get her a ride home. She had a two-year-old, and she was very pregnant. The next mm-hmm. time she called her one-by-one contact, she was living over in Arkansas in a homeless shelter. Mm-hmm. Her baby's father had become abusive. When she stood up for the little boy, he kicked her out. And all she had to her name was in a Walmart bag. And there were two churches over in Arkansas that came around her, brought her to church, started helping her. A Presbyterian church and a Baptist church, they brought her across the river to her appointment. Mm-hmm. Then there was a church in Memphis that hosted our Hannah's Closet that we mentioned earlier, a baby store, mm-hmm. that had gotten a bunch of clothes from a Presbyterian church in Peoria, Illinois. Mm-hmm. They provided the baby clothes. They provided that kind of thing. One of our team members actually took her home. Mm-hmm. And her and her little boy stayed with them. So a different mm-hmm. church mentored and discipled her, cared for her, got her on her feet. And then she ended up moving to another state with her two children, and she's plugged into a program that's helping her work that's out of another church. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, 6-7 churches in 4 states mm-hmm. coming around one mom. And that's really mm-hmm. a picture of the difference. You know, we like to say we're the antithesis of the Planned Parenthood worldview. And that's right. Planned Parenthood, you know, they bring you in, they treat you like a number. If you're a certain race or a certain demographic, they treat you like less than a number. Mm-hmm. They want to take your money. Or they want to take the government's money. They want to kill your child and put you back out in the street.
That's right.
And, you know, and they treat you like a statistic. What the Morning Center wants to do, what the church does, what Christ ultimately does for us, is treat us like a name. We're in unique image bearer. We're uniquely created in the image of God.
The precious person God made you to be.
Yeah, and so, you know, we want to serve people in that way and not, you know, we don't get caught up in how many can we see. We're seeing 80 or 90 patients now. We mm-hmm. really want to minister to their whole person. And before we go, I'll kind of tie that in with you asking me to tell people how they can get involved and things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned our mission statement is that we provide free comprehensive maternity care, including delivery to women in underserved areas in the name of Christ. Mm-hmm. And our four distinctives are we're gospel-centered primarily. We're 100% pro-life. Our unique funding model is that we don't accept any government money. We don't accept any payment. It's all private charity. Mm-hmm. We're completely funded by free will gifts of God's people, like charity used to be. And then we try to provide a really comprehensive level of care. So how can people out here in the highways and byways get involved?
What can they do to be a part of?
Well, you know, our four ministries are spiritual, social, medical, and support ministry. And of course, the medical being the centerpiece, mm-hmm. but we're more than just our biology, right? Mm-hmm. And so the way people can get involved, the first one is to pray. Mm-hmm. You know, pray for us, pray that God would bring us more people, pray that God would turn people away from abortion, pray that God would provide for our needs and the needs of our mom. The second one is you can partner. You know, go mm-hmm. to our Facebook page, themorningcentermemphis.org, and let people know about what we're doing. Tell, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, if you're listening to Urban Family and you hear about this, go to our Facebook page and share it. Tell your church about it. Tell people about what the Morning Center is doing. Tell pregnancy centers mm-hmm. that we're here so that you can they can send patients to us. The second one, the third one is pray, partner, go. The third one is go. If you're a medical professional and you want to volunteer or you want employment, you know, go through our Facebook page, Morning Center Memphis, and contact us. If mm-hmm. you want to bring a mission team and come in and do stuff like help organize the baby store, you know, help remodel mm-hmm. one of our clinics, do a class for our moms, mm-hmm. you know, pray, partner, get, go, and then finally give. We are supported by a free will charity. So if you go to our Facebook page, again, our website got hacked, so just go to Facebook and search the Morning Center Memphis. We can tell you how to give electronically, or you can send a donation to Morning Center 3638 Macon Road, Memphis, Tennessee 38122. And if you just put Morning Center on there, that's in a church, but they'll get it to us. And then finally, if you go to that Facebook page, you'll find a link to our Amazon store where you can buy medical supplies or things for our moms directly, have them shipped straight to us. Or you can, there's a story there about Hannah's Closet Baby Store, and your church can actually do a baby shower and buy stuff for our moms. Because, you know, every mom, even if you're poor, you know, every mom wants to bring her baby home with some nice new thing.
That's right.
You know, they want a nice new outfit that they picked out themselves for their mm-hmm. baby. And, you know, you can pray over that, and we'll put a tag on it with your – yeah, it's 3638 Macon, M-A-C-O-N, Road, Memphis, Tennessee, 38122.
And that's inner city Memphis, basically.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest has been Les Riley, the director of the Morning Center in Memphis, Tennessee. Hope that you'll be sure and take time to really pray for this powerful and wonderful work that God mm-hmm. is doing, the Morning Center in Memphis, Tennessee. But also, if you'd like to contribute financially, again, we encourage you to prayerfully consider doing that as well. There's so much you can do. All of us can pray. All of us can give. And also, they take volunteers as well. So please get in touch with the Morning Center. Thanks, Les, for being with us today.
Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. We appreciate you joining us. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.